Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 420, and thereof the fifth stanza. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. God cares for us. Our God is he who would not fear his majesty in earth as well as heaven. And what follows? Psalter 420, the fifth stanza.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 14, the verses 1 through 21. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 14, the first 21 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Thus far the reading of the Scriptures. Well, let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when by renewal on this Sabbath day, thou hast brought us together safely within the walls of thy house, and we attempt to open our unclean lips, may it please thee to grant that awe, that reverence, a low place at thy footstool, that thy luster may shine forth. 'Tis in the evening of the second last Sabbath of this year that has already far run its course, Lord. Wilt thou grant many souls that may be exercised with the shortness, the solemnity, the uncertainty of our life, and the certainty of death, of judgment, and of eternity. May souls have come up in this evening with that prayer from the psalmist to receive a little favor, to receive a visit, a little instruction, a little encouragement. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. Thou hast promised to bless thy word by the foolishness of preaching to save some. Ah, Lord, wilt thou do it in this evening hour? Then it would be an unforgettable evening, an evening for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. O Lord, leave us not in our lost state, then we are forever undone. Thou knowest most perfectly how deeply we have fallen, how impressionless we have become. Still a blessing when we may still have a tender and a speaking conscience, but Lord, we need to be renewed. We need to be converted by the loving and the irresistible work of thy Spirit. May it please thee to bless thy word in this evening hour to that end, for the conversion of our boys and girls, the conversion of our youth, the conversion of the middle-aged, and the conversion of the elderly. Also in this evening hour, then we cannot leave thy house, although perhaps we think so. We cannot leave thy house the same that we have come. To that end, may the prayers be multiplied. Lord, remember thy people. Wilt thou grant us through Advent exercises by the first time and by renewal that waiting upon thy word, a pleading by thy Spirit, an Advent concerning the revelation, the application, an Advent with a desire for that sweet communion and that rejoicing in thee. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace. Bless thy word in the church on the Lord's day during the week. Bless the instruction given to our youth. Bless thy word in the midst of the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. And wilt thou grant unto children a hearing ear and hearts to perceive. Bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Grant all that is necessary to that end. Grant traveling mercies to and fro, when thy word may be opened. Make it a blessing for young and old. Lord, may the prayers be multiplied to that end. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. Oh, do remember and uphold the persecuted church, those that are martyred for the testimony of Jesus Christ. May it be used for the extension of thy kingdom. May thou take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work. Remember our mission field, thy servants, the team. It all awaits for thy blessing. Remember him who has been accepted as a church worker. His thoughts with his wife shall multiply, shall be many mountains and impossibilities, but wilt thou make it a plain and exercises that thy kingdom may come. We remember all Bible translators and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Lord, remember our poor nation that continues on its downward spiral to destruction. Remember our leaders federally, provincially, of the cities, of the towns, also of our town. May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit and impress upon all of our minds and our hearts that we are inhabitants of this nation. Woe unto us that we have sinned, and it is written in thy word that the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. O Lord, wilt thou turn us and our children from our evil and worldly ways? Wilt thou grant repentance, a reformation, and a need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? By renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to remember them? Remember our elderly ones. Do remember our care home, all the residents, with those that may lovingly care for them. Wilt thou also pour out thy Holy Spirit in that place? Remember all the sick and afflicted, all the sick relatives, the different circumstances. They are known unto thee. Remember the handicapped. Remember those that struggle with depression. Wilt thou graciously watch over them. And when it seems so hopeless, may they be given to bow their knees, tell thee everything, and open thy holy word with the prayer that thou may remember and uphold them. Remember all those that struggle with temptations and addictions, O Lord. Wilt thou deliver them while it can yet, and while it may yet? Remember all of our family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children, a great blessing indeed, where thy holy word may have authority. A word has become different. Wilt thou grant repentance, and what has been separated, may it please thee to bring it together according to thy holy institution. Lord, continue to provide for the daily bread for our family circles. Wilt thou grant a simple life, a dependent life, and to be given to experience thy dealings, thy wonderful providence, and may it be thy goodness, Lord. We have to confess that we are such unthankful creatures for our daily, for thy common mercies, and yet where thou maketh the difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth, by renewal we commend the country at war unto thee, with all their needs, with all their cares, may they be given to cry unto thee. Lord, wilt thou, may it please thee to grant that it may be thy mercies that may lead us to repentance. Otherwise, all thy gifts, all thy mercies, all the sermons, all the callings, they shall have to rise up against us in the day of judgment. O Lord, may it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace to convert us and our children, as thou doth convert all thy people, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. We humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. We are called upon to speak about profound matters. Wilt thou grant that we may be given to believe what we speak, and then we can also speak concerning what we believe. We are so dependent upon Thee, Lord. Dwell then richly amongst us, among us sinful, unworthy, undeserving people. Ah, may there be such souls in our midst. Wilt thou remember all the listeners, graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, give a little rest in thy house. Wilt thou bind the devil fast, and that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great, thy worthy, thy triune name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 257, the first four stanzas. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth to God. In daily praises, bless His name, and tell His grace abroad. And what follows, Psalter 257, the first four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9, the question and answers 26, 24, and 25. Question 24, how are these articles divided? Answer into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second of God the Son and our redemption. The third of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Question 25. Since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer, because God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God. Lord's Day number 8 speaks of faith in the Holy Trinity with three thoughts in the first place. Faith in the Scriptures. Secondly, faith in one God. And thirdly, faith in the three persons. Faith in the Holy Trinity, faith in the Scriptures, faith in one God, and faith in the three persons. Beloved congregation, when we may be gathered together on the second last Lord's Day, then what fitting points to examine our hearts and our lives. Our congregation, do we wait till Old Year's Eve to think of these solemn matters? Have there been times in our lives that in the middle of the year, as it were, and at other times, that it was an Old Year's evening, given to reflect upon what the Lord has done, given to reflect what we have done, that our sins are great and manifold, when the Spirit uncovers us deeper and deeper, then the Lord has a people that are exercised with death and eternity, given to examine themselves, given to cry unto the Lord for that one thing needful. And to that end, on this Sabbath day, when the Lord spares us, we do not know. There is not one amongst us that has the guarantee that we shall be in God's house on Old Year's evening. And to that end, the necessity that we make earnest haste to receive that one thing needful, to be saved by the work of a triune God. We have heard in this morning hour that Mary has sung from generation to generation. And now first in short, then our first point, that is faith in the Scriptures. May I ask you, congregation, How has it been with the scriptures in this past year? Have we been more diligent, prayerfully searching? Have the scriptures become more precious? Have there been times that the Lord has spoken to us through the scriptures? The instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, then each time by renewal, then they are given to stress that everything must be based upon the Holy Scriptures. In question 22, in the former Lord's Day, then we have heard that all things promised us in the Gospel. In answer 19, when it spoke of the Mediator, then it is also stressed, declared in the Holy Gospel. In number 21, concerning that true saving faith, I hold for truth all that God has revealed in His Word. And in this Lord's Day, in answer 25, because God has so revealed Himself in His Word, then the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, one of the watchwords of the Reformation, and that is sola scriptura, that was the battle that our reformers have fought, because in the Roman Catholic Church, then the writings of the fathers, then they were placed above the Word. Also the tradition of the Church, not that tradition is wrong, because they read in Proverbs 24, verse 21, not to meddle with those that are given to change. Thus we are called to honor our father and mother, to uphold the old ways and the old truths, of course, insofar that it is according to the scriptures. When we think of the Rechabites, then they have received a special blessing that they have honored their father and their mother, not to dwell in houses and not to drink wine. Nevertheless, in the Roman Catholic Church, then tradition that was placed above the scriptures, we also read thereof, that was the fault and the sin of the Pharisees. Thus our instructors, each time by renewal, then they are given to stress that it must all be based and according to the Holy Scriptures. And that is so necessary, that that is impressed upon the minds and hearts of us and our children, where we live in a world where there is spoken much of the human mind, I think and I feel so. But I read in Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And what a precious gift that the holy word of God is. I read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, thus boys and girls, then we may see the Bible as a letter that the Lord has given to mankind, a letter from heaven that we are called to read and to search. And alas, we live in a time, oh, our nation, in former ages, than most family circles. They had a family Bible, but in the former century, then the Bible, then prayer, has been taken out of institutions of learnings, and we are reaping the bitter fruits thereof. And congregation, with all the humanistic thoughts that we are bombarded with, and then there is the danger that gradually but surely that we go along with the world, and that sin, what used to be formerly sin, that shall be sin no more in the church. To that end, what is now necessary, that we and our children are given to search and to read the scriptures. I read in John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and in them ye think ye have eternal life. And in Acts 17, verse 11, then we read that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures whether these things were so. Oh, in the word of God, there it is declared how deeply we have fallen, but also how that lost and condemnable sinners may be saved by free and sovereign grace. And to that end, husbands, fathers, when you are married and you have made your vows, then it is clearly written in our marriage form based upon God's holy word that husbands, that they are called to instruct their wives. And of course, that includes also the children that you have been blessed with. And now concerning the scriptures, then it is necessary to search them prayerfully, that the Lord by His Spirit, that He may grant instruction. In the second place, then it is necessary that we read them reverently with a profound impression that we are reading the Word of the Living God. And then in the third place, then we are called upon to read them attentively. Oh, those wandering thoughts. Or do you not have trouble there with congregation? Young and old. When we open the Bible, do you always have the attention with the Word of God? Or do you have trouble with those wandering thoughts? And that at the end of scripture reading, that we have to ask the Lord for pardoning, that we have read so thoughtlessly, perhaps even to read it over again. Then fourthly, to read it impartially, that we honestly read it, and that we ask the Lord, what is the Lord now saying to us? Not to make it mean what we like, but to read it as it is written in God's holy word. And fifthly, not only hearers of the word, but also doers. How has it been thus far in the year of our Lord 2022 concerning the scriptures? Has it been made a blessing? How is it with the obedience to the scriptures? Concerning the scriptures, before we go over to our second thought, but so important to stress, what saith the Lord, then it is so necessary that we read the King James Version, or in Dutch, the Statenvertaling. there are people in our days that say that our Bible is too difficult. That is an amazing thing. In former days, when the people were much less educated, then we did not hear that complaint. And now concerning the King James Version, then we must remember two special points. Then in the first place, it concerns not the words which the translators have chosen, but in the first place, then it concerns the manuscripts which they are based upon. And it is evidence, there is proof, that in the early church there have come two sets of manuscripts. Of course, in the early days before the printing press, then they had to be copied over by scribes. And we read in the epistles to John that there were already those that denied the divinity of Christ. And now for those scribes that did not believe in the pure doctrine, then it would not be so difficult to leave some portions out. And so it has become evident that in the church there have come two streams of manuscripts. And in the Western church, then they had the false manuscripts, also the Vulgate of the Roman Catholic Church, although there is evidence that there were different people, the Waldenses, that they still had the pure manuscripts. But now, before the time of the Reformation, when Constantinople was conquered by the Turks, where it is believed that in the Eastern Church they still had the pure manuscripts, then many have fled to the Western world. And so the pure manuscripts, they were brought, they were studied in the colleges and universities. And then the translation of William Tyndale, that was based upon the pure manuscripts, and so also the King James Version. And if we compare those manuscripts, then in those false manuscripts, then the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way that the church is saved, that many times is omitted or watered down. They tell us that in the false manuscripts there are approximately 2,880 words that are missing. There are even portions, the last 8 verses of Mark, they tell us they are not really in the manuscripts. This congregation, then we see the importance that we hold, that we admire, and that we love the King James Version. It is a version which the Lord has blessed for so many centuries, the version that the Lord has used for many revivals. And then secondly, then many newer versions, they are not a word-for-word translation, but a thought-for-thought. That means that the translators, that they have interpreted the scriptures, thus a few thoughts, the importance that we may hold to our beloved King James Version. No, not a perfect translation, nevertheless a translation which the Lord has richly blessed. Our second thought, faith in one God. Since there is but one only divine essence, in the time of the Reformation, then most people believed in God. And the churches, the God of the Scriptures, although there was much error, and to that end, the instructors have not spoken that there is a true and a living God. Reverend Hellenbrook, his first question, fathers and mothers, do you know the first question of Reverend Hellenbrook? What is that question? Our young people can tell us. But can fathers and mothers also tell us? Whence knowest thou that there is a God? And then the answer, from nature and from the Holy Scriptures. And then concerning that knowledge of nature, then Reverend Hellenbrook has spoken of an innate knowledge and an acquired knowledge. And that innate knowledge, that is a knowledge that we are born with an impression that there is a high supreme ruler that reigns over everything, and that there is a God. And that acquired knowledge that can be acquired from creation when we behold the wonderful creation and providence of God. Then Reverend Hellenbrook has also spoken of an atheist. In the time of the Reformation, there were not so many, but in our day, there are many who call themselves atheists. And then you can ask, how is that possible with that innate knowledge? When we stifle that innate knowledge, when we stifle our conscience, shall you not do that, people? Still a blessing when we may have a speaking conscience, when we have a conscience that warns us when we do wrong. What a solemn thing it is when our conscience becomes seared and when it becomes hardened. And to that end, Reverend Hellenbrook has said, it is more a desire than a belief. In Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, there we read, the fool says in his heart, does not say he believes, but he says in his heart, thus rather a desire, the necessity. How has that been in the past year, congregation? With that belief in that one, only, true God. Jewish boys, when they were young, 4 or 5 years, then they had to memorize and know that text out of Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And may I now ask you, congregation, how has it now been with that belief concerning the living and the true God? Do you ever have trouble with that atheist? That so many questions arise, how can it all be? Of course, God, he is so great. He has said in Job 36, verse 26, God is great and we know him not, cannot comprehend him, but we are called to believe him. How has it now been in the past year? Were there also times that we have experienced in special ways that the Lord, that he is God indeed, that he has everything in his hands, that for him there is nothing too wonderful, answers upon prayer. How has it been in that respect? In itself, does not saving, but still a blessing when we may have that close, that dependent life. And now the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and of the earth, then in the first place, then He requires of us our highest love, to love God above all. Points to examine herself. How has that been in this past year thus far? Were there those times that we may say before an all-knowing God with the Peter, notwithstanding our sins, even atheistic thoughts, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. It's what the Lord requires, and He has a right to require it. In the second place, then the Lord requires of us unconditional obedience. How was that now concerning God's word? Was there respect? Was there much prayer? The Lord may keep us. Or have we even boldly despised the scriptures, His holy law? In the third place, then the living God, that great God, then He requires of us and our children sincere worship, a humbly bowing at His throne. And in the fourth place, then the Lord requires continual praise. How is it now concerning that second point? Faith in one God. Can it be seen in our life? And now concerning one God, one essence, when the Lord works, then God becomes real. And then we become exercised with that great and majestic God. We become exercised with all His attributes. We become exercised with His justice. We become exercised with our sins. We become exercised with the satisfaction of that justice. How has it been hitherto, congregation? Has it been a good year for our soul? And now the Lord has a people upon the earth, a holy impossibility that they can satisfy, and yet a holy necessity. And then the question becomes, how is it now possible, a God that is so pure, so just, cannot overlook, not forget one of my sins? How is it now ever possible that a poor and hell-worthy sinner as I am, that ruins everything, how is it now ever possible that such a great sinner as I am can be saved? Has that become our exercise? and been our exercise hitherto in this past year. We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. By nature, we are lost, and we need to be saved. And now for a people that may be exercised, deeply exercised, because there is a people upon the earth that need and must needs be saved. Oh, to miss God, that is the greatest burden. Oh, the thought that we shall have to curse such a good-doing God to all eternity. And then there is ask whether there is a way to be saved. If God was only singular, then it would be forever impossible for one sinner, for us and our children, to be saved, because the Lord is judge. He can never overlook sin. But now in this Lord's Day, it is declared that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And therein lies declared the possibility for us and our dear children to be saved by free and sovereign grace. Let us first sing. Psalter 241, the stanzas 4-7. The heavens shall join in glad accord to praise thy wondrous works, O Lord. Thy faithfulness shall praise command where holy ones assembled stand. And what follows, 241, 4-7. of faith in the Holy Trinity, faith in the Scriptures, faith in one God, and now thirdly, faith in the three persons. That is a matter which cannot be understood. It is a mystery which cannot be comprehended, but it is a precious doctrine which must be believed and experienced, as shall it be well. Then concerning the Trinity, then God is of one essence, and we must not understand that each person is a third of the essence of God, but that each person is truly and fully God. In the second place, we must not understand the Trinity. There have been those that taught that concerning the three persons, that it is only a different manner by a different name how the Lord has appeared to His church. Then thirdly, we must not understand that the Trinity consists of three persons. Then it can be divided, but in three persons. Then concerning the attributes, we have learned it, where our fathers have spoken of communicable and incommunicable attributes, that all those attributes, that they belong all to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Then the three persons, there is no last, there is no first, although usually in Scripture a special order, Father, a Son, and Holy Ghost. Then in the seventh place, then each of those persons, they are distinguished by their manner of subsisting, by a personal property, and by their works. Then the Father, then He is self-existent. The Son is begotten of the Father, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and from the Son. And our Heidelberg Catechism concerning the works, the first of God the Father and our creation, our instructors do not mention all. It was the Father who was thought out salvation and the election of His church. When our instructors speak of the works of the three divine persons, then it does not exclude the other two persons. That is very clear from Scripture. When we think of the creation of the heavens and of the earth, then in the second verse of Genesis 1, then we read that the Spirit that He moved upon the face of the waters. Concerning the redemption of the church, the work of a triune God, and concerning the ingathering and the sanctification of the church, that is also the work of a triune God. It is clearly declared in the Scriptures, from the beginning to the end, that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Genesis 1, verse 26, we read that the Lord has said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." that speaks of the plurality of the persons in the divine essence. There are many texts in the Old Testament. We shall not relate them, but there are so many texts also in the Old Testament which speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And there are texts where Lord and Lord and God are distinguished. There are texts where the three divine persons are separately mentioned. We only mention Isaiah 61 verse 1, where we read the Spirit of the Lord God, thus that is the Spirit of the Father, is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Concerning the Trinity, more clearly declared and revealed in the New Testament, we only have to mention the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we read in Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17, then it is declared that the Son was baptized, that the Holy Spirit has descended like a dove, and that the Father has spoken, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us yet mention the text from Matthew 28, verse 19, the command to baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have read together out of John 14, and there clearly the three persons are mentioned. In verse 1, all are their souls, seeking souls, burdened with your sin. Ah, that perhaps you have told the Lord in this day, ach Lord, it is the second last Sabbath of this year, and the burden of sin is still upon my back, and oh Lord, that burden is so heavy, that burden is so unbearable. Oh, is there no way that that burden may be taken away? That is declared in this Lord's Day, the work of a triune God. And then Christ has said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. They were troubled disciples. There was so much that they did not understand. Christ has spoken of his suffering and his death. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. And then the command, believe also in me. And then further, in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then we have heard it further that there was spoken of the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And now in the life of the true children of God, then there must be distinguished, because when the Lord works by his Spirit, and that is such a wonderful and such an astonishing work, we read in John 3 verse 8 that it is compared to the wind. The wind cannot be seen, and so it is the work of the Spirit. But now in the life of a child of God, then we must distinguish, because when the Lord works, then we experience the works of the three divine persons. Then we experience the work of the Spirit. We experience the Father's providence in his kind care, then the church experiences the work of Christ because we have heard, because I live, ye shall live also. But now it is necessary that the church is led further. They are given to experience the works. They are given to receive the gifts which the Holy Spirit grants at the moment of regeneration, and each time by renewal in the exercise thereof. Then they receive the gifts of the Father's providential care, his sparing, his keeping, his protection, special exercises therewith. And then they receive the gifts of Christ. We have the clear type in the Old Testament, Eliezer. He is not mentioned his name, but then he has brought those precious gifts which Rebekah would receive. But now it is necessary that the child of God is led further to receive an experiential knowledge of the three persons, and that takes place by receiving a knowledge of the Son, that as we have read out of verse 6, that he is the way to the Father, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus the further leadings to receive a knowledge through the knowledge of the Son, by the leading of the Spirit, then the church will learn of that Father. We have the example of the disciples, how that the Lord has led them from step to step. They have sat under the prophetical ministry of Christ. They have desired him. Oh, they have owned him as king. But now it was necessary that they were led into that priestly office. And now they have received that knowledge on Good Friday. Oh, it seemed, it is implied, that Mary, when she has anointed the mediator for his burial, that she has received some knowledge thereof. But for the disciples, then we read clearly in Luke 24, verse 45, that Christ has opened their understanding, that they understood the scriptures concerning the mediatorial work of the Son of God, and that he was that appointed mediator, that in the state of his humiliation, that he has merited salvation, and that it was necessary that he was risen, that he would apply that salvation. But now for the disciples, they have been led further in that ascension, where it is written that they were given to rejoice, because in the ascension of Christ, then the church is brought back to the Father heart of God. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, to experience the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, a knowledge of the third person, and where we read in Romans 8 that the church may cry out, Abba, Father. Oh, in the days of old, and not to minimize the Lord, he is still working, but in the days of old, there were those old pilgrims that could tell and explain so clearly how they have been led from step to step, also concerning not only the works. Oh, when the Lord works, then we are given to experience those works of the three divine persons. Then we are given to receive those precious gifts. But now in the further leadings, to receive a knowledge of the three divine persons. Oh, what a precious Lord's day, that the Lord is triune. Therein lies the possibility for us and our children to be saved, and not only the possibility, because the Lord is gathering a church, And he has promised to bless his word to that end, young and old. How is it concerning with that knowledge? Has the Lord now made a beginning? Oh, we have mentioned those 4 points. Do we heartily love the Lord? When we love someone, cannot be explained, but we know when there is a love, when a love goes out to a person that is experienced. And when the Lord begins, then he implants that love for the Lord, for his people, for his law, for his word, for his house. And how is it now with that unconditional obedience? Do we not read of a Saul when he was felled on the way to Damascus? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, how is it with that sincere worship? The Lord has a people upon the earth that cannot bow low enough, with a desire to be nothing, that the Lord may be honored above all. And then in the 4th place, with that thankfulness, that continual praise, to that end, how necessary for the church of God his dear Son becomes as the way to the Father. The church learns the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, of the Son and of the Father, young and old. May we be given to examine ourselves. A little more than 13 days left in the year of our Lord, 2022. And how has it now been thus far? My unconverted fellow travelers, are you still troubled about those things? Or hide behind your inability? Lord must do it, it is true. Hold on to that. The church learns this free and sovereign grace, the work of a triune God. But with that excuse, you cannot appear before the Lord. Bow then your knees and tell the Lord what you have heard. That wonderful song of Mary. Beg the Lord that you may receive a little beginning, because when the Lord works, then we have a desire that he is honored and glorified. Are there guilty sinners in this Lord's day? It is declared, as I read in Romans 3, verse 26, that the Lord is judge, that he is just, and the justifier. That is possible through his dear Son. People of God, how is it concerning that experience, concerning the gifts, the works, and the knowledge of the 3 divine persons? Paul has written to the Corinthians at the end of a 2nd epistle, the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee for another Lord's Day, a soul's mark a day, and yet a few simple words to speak. May it please thee to also be the after preacher. May we be given to examine all of our hearts and to meditate upon the wonders of the Lord. We may commence the 2nd last week of this year. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the home? Remember on the way, remember all of our truckers, who day by day are called upon to be upon the road. They need thy protection when the roads are good. They need thy protection in a special way when the roads are treacherous, when the visibility is nearly nil. Wealth of grand traveling mercies in this evening hour to our dwellings. Wealth of graciously watch over us. Remember the farmers with the animals and the cold of the winter. We commend unto thee the school board when they hope to meet in this week. Wealth of gather with them. Wealth of grant them wisdom and discretion with their responsible task. We commend unto thee a husband and wife who toward the end of this week hope to commemorate that thou wast spared them for 56 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Wealth of grant a good day. Wealth of grant a soft heart. Wealth of remember with the children, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren. Lord, remember us and our children. Wealth of keep us from an unexpected and above all from an unprepared death. Wealth of keep us from sin and temptation. Take us each under thy kind care and thy good protection. May we be given to meditate, have Advent exercises, when thou granteth it, then on the coming Lord's Day, then we hope to remember in a special way the birth of thy Son. Lord, watch so over us, grant a prayer for one another, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 266, let us only sing the second stanza. Merciful is mighty, he delights in justice, for he reigns in righteousness and rules in equity. And what follows? Consistory wishes to announce that the mission calendars are at the exit, Psalter 266, only the second stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.